All right, welcome, Master Your Money and Mindset listeners. Thank you for joining today's show. Today, I am your host, Elizabeth Heise, as always. But today with me, we have my very dear friend and financial planner, Rosanna Guadavacara. Rosanna is a financial advisor and a financial planner with Barnum Financial Group. Rosanna has been in this space for over 25 years. She has been helping people manage their money and plan their financial futures. Rosanna, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me, Elizabeth. It's great to be here.
Oh, good. I can't wait for this. So, like I said, Rosanna is obviously a very experienced and very successful financial planner, but there's also something, I'm sure many, many things that are very unique and special about Rosanna. But the one I want to talk about today is that Rosanna has a passion for teaching children financial literacy and bringing financial literacy to school age children and up. But really, she started at that grammar school age. But Rosanna doesn't just preach this financial literacy. She actually takes action in the form of her becoming a published children's author. So Rosanna has written not one, not two, but three children's books to help teach children about finances. It's a series called Peter Saves, and Rosanna is going to tell us all about her book series, what it's like being a children's author, what it's like teaching children about money, how to take complex topics and simplify them so our children could understand, and then, of course, all the great work she does with her clients. So we have a chock full show today. Rosanna, kick us off. Tell us how you got to where you are today.
Okay, great. So 25 years ago, even though it feels like yesterday, I was going to school at Brooklyn College and I was given an internship with a financial planning firm. I was the first guinea pig intern. I was given six credits and the rest is pretty much history. I started working at this financial planning firm as an intern. Then I was an assistant. Then I became a junior. And I realized that my three most favorite things to do are to teach, speak, and work with numbers and people. So I've been doing this for about 25 years now, building my business organically, being referred to my clients' children, their family, their friends, their loved ones. And I love it.
And you're a really hard worker. I've worked with you for a lot of years now, and you have just an incredible work ethic. So I'm not surprised that your clients are referring you all over the place, because you do put a lot of work into everything that you do. But I always find it so interesting when somebody walks into their future, like right out of college.
Like, I mean, who would have known?
Who would have known?
Yeah. I mean, I was actually in between two majors. And my professor at the time said, I know that you're struggling, you know, you're doing well in both majors, but I think that you would just be better in the finance world. And I had this internship, and I've thanked him to this day for giving me, you know, that gift and providing me that direction.
Yes, that is truly a gift. And you know what? I just had a colleague of ours, Amelia, on the show, and she was talking about how in college we're often pushed to big finance companies, like financial analyst positions or big partner CPA firms. But she went the opposite route into a planning office, same as you. So it's really interesting that that's the route you went as well and stayed here your entire career. And so did she.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, for me, it started out as an internship, right?
Yes.
I was just starting. And then it became, you know, more of a job and a career, a passion. And now it's a mission.
And 25 years ago, even now, there's not a ton of women financial planners. Right. 25 years ago, what did that look like?
I know. I mean, there weren't any women.
Right.
You know, it's
in New York City, you were still.
I was in New York City. I was working in Midtown. And it's almost as if, like, as the years progressed, I got used to being the only woman. Right. So I would actually make sure that I would show up early to meetings. So I would, you know, get a seat, and, you know, things weren't drawn my way. Right. But it was just something that I got used to. But, you know, I love being a woman. Right. It just gives you this motherly instinct that helps mm-hmm. you in the business as well.
More instinctual.
Yeah.
More instinctual. Honestly, when you were going through that journey, like those first 5-10 years, were there any other female financial planners to help you, to mentor you?
There were a few, but not many. A lot of my mentors, you know, were men.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm also blessed to have those sure. mentors, right?
Absolutely.
Because they saw something that I might not have seen in myself at the time.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to be a very slow and steady road. Mm-hmm. I had no contacts. Mm-hmm. There was no social media back then. Mm-hmm. You know, I was very young. My family's from Italy. Mm-hmm. So I knew it was going to take me some time. So the percentages back then of succeeding,
yeah.
not being a
woman, lot stacked against
with
you.
No contact, yeah, you're was like right. maybe 5%.
You're right.
So now I was maybe at 0.05
yeah.
of potentially succeeding.
Where did that drive come from?
I know. I think about that all the time. And my parents and I think about like what kept like me in the business. And I think it was the commitments that I made to clients, mm-hmm. telling them that I was going to be there for them when they retired. I was going to be there to send their, help them send their children to college, buy a home. So it's almost as if it's like a responsibility.
Yes, you committed.
And
yes.
being there every step of the way, you know, keeps you in the business.
You're right. You're right. And you mentioned that it was, that is now a mission for you being yeah. a financial planner. Tell me about that.
You know, you do this for quite a bit of time. You get to see what works. You know, you get blessed by watching clients achieve their financial goals. It's almost as if there's something inside that's like kind of exploding and you'd like to write it down. Mm-hmm. So I started writing, you know, for different publications for adults mm-hmm. and then bringing it to a different level with children.
And you said in the beginning, you said you loved educating. That was one of, right. that was one of your three passions was educating. So yeah, feeling like you had so much bottled up inside you that right. you had to just get it out and get it out to the masses. So that's when you started writing. What made you transition to children? How did that happen?
I know it was a very magical moment.
Hell,
I know
tell.
That sounds so
no, a magical
so
moment. My gosh, I just leaned in everybody.
So, you know, I've always been speaking to clients, educating them on certain financial literacy concepts. It was almost human nature for me, even though it was just my son and I, he was brought up in this business as well. I would always like run into a different room just to make it private. Mm-hmm. Not that we had many rooms, we were living in Manhattan, mm-hmm. but, you know, and one day he was about 6 years old, you know, he comes running into the bedroom and he's like, "Mommy, you know, I heard you." And I was like, "Okay, Vito." He's like, "I think I know what life insurance is."
Get out.
I'm so serious.
Get out. At 6 years old.
6 years old. And I'm like, all ears. I'm like,
tell me.
What is it, yeah. honey? You know, he says, "It's when someone passes away, goes to heaven, and the money goes to their families." And I was like, oh my goodness.
Pretty
wow.
good.
He's listening.
Pretty good. Yep.
And in that moment, two worlds came together.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like
moment.
I had to get the word out there. Mm-hmm. And then what happened from that point on is I got a bit of my content from Vito.
Sure.
You know,
well,
it's,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
sure.
knowing that he understood, like you probably would not give a 6-year-old credit for understanding that or even
right.
think they would understand that or even want to understand that. But I would imagine that was part of it, that you're like, oh, he did understand this and it's important for him to understand that.
Yeah. And it's almost as if while he's explaining it to me, I could see his mind going.
Yeah.
Like how he's actually picturing
yep.
it all unfold.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that moment I said, wouldn't it be great that just like how children learn, you know, how to read, you know, they learn how to add.
Mm-hmm.
Why not teach them financial literacy concepts at a young age mm-hmm. through visuals?
Yep. Through visuals.
Yeah.
That's the part that I want
and
to
color
out.
Yeah.
So from there, the Peter Save series was born essentially. I mean, you went right from ideation to book number yeah. one, right?
Yeah. So I just started putting, you know, pen to paper and it's overwhelming in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so many ideas you're thinking about. You're thinking about what you've been teaching your clients. And how do you make that relatable to a child
yes.
and keep it interesting enough to encourage them to be entertained.
Yes.
And to get through the book.
And learn at the same time.
And learn.
Yep.
Right. So you have to make it exciting. So I figured, you know, why not make it like a real life story?
Yep.
So, you know, the secret is, which now it's out, but, you know, Peter is really a story about Vito, right? Him growing up, you know, and kind of just going through life.
Yes.
You know, as a little boy, you know, living in the city, going to school.
Yep.
And then learning financial literacy concepts along the way.
Did Vito want you to change the name?
No, he didn't, but he probably is very happy that I did now.
So tell us about the first book.
Sure. So, so the first book is mainly about savings, right?
And that's, is that Peter
saves
for a rainy day?
Yeah, Peter saves for a rainy day.
Okay.
So, you know, we're taught to go through school, find something that you love to do, and then you end up working.
Yep.
But it must be pretty complicated for a child to think about, okay, my parents go to work. How do we pay for all these things? Mm-hmm. Like, how does that transition itself? Mm-hmm. So what the first book is about is, there's people working, there's a family that's working, and what do they do with that income, right? And I could actually show you a quick page.
It's always a hard concept while you're looking, like needs versus wants.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this diet, this pie chart basically explains what happens to the dollar once it's earned, right? So a portion of it gets saved.
Yep.
And then a portion of it goes to certain expenses.
Yep. So house,
yeah,
a car,
whether it's
clothes.
Right.
Yep.
So, and then also describing what a bank means.
Yep.
Right. It's a safe place where people can put their money.
Yep.
Right. And save.
Yep.
So that's where I started the concept mm-hmm. of savings.
Mm-hmm. And how, what was the reaction from Peter Saves? And what grade?
I know.
What is the most applicable grade?
I would say it's up to first grade.
From kindergarten. So from nursery school or conceptual up to first grade.
Yeah.
Got it.
I mean, I think that, you know, a mother or a father could read this book to a one-year-old.
You're right.
Right. Even a six-month-old.
Because the
colors.
The
really
colors
stand
are
out.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I did that for this.
Yeah. And the pictures are gorgeous. So you're right. So Peter Saves for a Rainy Day is very, very visual.
Yes.
Very, very visual.
And I get that question a lot, Elizabeth. You know, what is the grade range? And it's such a hard question for me to answer because children crawl at different times. They walk at different times. They read at different times. So I always encourage the book to be brought in very early on.
Yes. Yes. Now, these books, is this one, you said they were approved by the Department of Education?
The Department of Ed, yeah, the first and the second book.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And what was that process like? Was it just to be able to get the books in front of more students?
Well, I was reading to many schools in the city. And once the application was filled out, it was approved pretty instantly, I think, because there aren't many financial literacy books out there.
No, there's not. Not aimed at this young, for
yeah.
sure.
And I think, you know, the educators and administrators of the Department of Ed noticed how the children would pay attention during the book readings.
That's what I was going to ask you guys. Tell us about the children's reaction. I mean, obviously not the younger ones, but if you're reading to a child, kindergarten, first grade, maybe second grade, what do they really react to?
I know. It was so interesting. There were two book readings that like stand out in my mm-hmm. mind. And, you know, kids can ask some pretty hard questions.
Yes,
also.
They can.
I mean, I should be able to answer all of them. But one question was, you know, is this book about your life? And that was, I mean,
no.
So smart of that child to bring that up.
Yes.
Right. So that was intuitive. A really interesting question. And another child said, well, you know, if I'm getting an allowance, right, for $10, how much of that would go, you know, to pay for the home? So I thought that was so
that was great.
Intuitive.
Yeah.
So it's amazing.
He or she was relating it back to themselves.
Yeah. So it's amazing, you know, how much children know.
Yes.
And how smart they are.
Yes.
They're just smaller than we are.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And maybe they don't have a filter.
Yeah. Yes, which is refreshing.
It's refreshing.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
Yes, we want to put that away sometimes. So Peter saves for a rainy day. And at this point, you know, Vito is your inspiration for that. Yeah. But as children do, he got older.
Right.
And was that your inspiration for your second book?
It was. So as he got older, so did the children's book series.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were certain concepts that he would just say and I would write them down.
Now, are we talking middle school age at this point?
I think the second book is for second grade.
Oh, second grade. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Both the first and the second book were published at the same time, okay, but written clearly at different times.
Yep.
Right. So even with the second book, there were just concepts that he would say and I would write them down. Mm-hmm. I think he's on to me now.
Put your pen down, Ma. I
know. Recently, he's like, Mom, don't write about that. So it's funny that we've gotten to that point.
Definitely on to you.
But the third book, I definitely gave him some credit.
We love it, Vito.
Yeah. Thank you, Vito.
Yes. Thank you, Vito.
Yeah. So the second book is about needs and wants. What you just spoke about, right? Some of our wants have become our needs. So what I do in the second book is I introduce needs and wants, right? A want is something that you desire. Mm-hmm. A need is something that you can't live without. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though I'm writing the concept, I'm also drawing what it should look like. And then the illustrator brings it to a different level. So I'm thinking to myself, how do I do this in such a fashion? Again, that makes it entertaining, makes it exciting. So I did a red and a blue piggy bank, right? The red piggy bank would be for spending and the blue is for savings.
Mm-hmm. Needs and wants, I feel, is the most underestimated concept when you're doing any type of planning, whether it's general spending and savings, or I would imagine, Rosanna, this comes up a ton
when you're
working with your clients, trying to help them save for retirement or fulfill some sort of large financial goal, is understanding. And I love the way, if you could say that again, I love the way you define the two. Say that one more time.
Sure. So a want is something that you desire.
Yep.
A need is something you can't live without.
So simple, but right. How often do we...
Very ambiguous.
Yes, do we mesh those together? Because sometimes right. You just cannot live without that pair of shoes
exactly.
Or that cup of coffee or, you know, whatever new cell phone version it is. So it needs and wants are a huge, huge sticking point.
No, absolutely. And I think this is why I discuss cash flow in each book.
Yeah.
And I bring it to a different level of complexity, but still trying to keep it relatable
sure.
And exciting for the child that eventually becomes a teenager.
Sure. And Rosanna, I think what you're also doing that's really special is everybody has a set of money values
right.
Based on the home that they grew up in, based on what they were taught, what they saw. And sometimes it's not always good.
Right.
And they're taking those values with them through their entire life. I think with Peter Saves, you're helping children determine their own money values and you're helping them determine their own money identity by teaching them at such an early age these type of concepts and that they possibly have a choice on what they think is a need versus a want or what they think should go into savings versus spending. Obviously, this is conceptual to them, but I think you're allowing them the space to have their own ideas about money.
Exactly. It's similar to that question that I was asked by that child. If I'm giving an allowance, right? Because that's their first introduction maybe to money and earning money. How much of it would go to a home? How much of it would go to food? How much of it would go to candy, right?
Yes.
They ask those questions. Sure. So they're trying, you know, to just conceptualize that in their mind.
Yeah. Which is hard, which is a very, very hard concept.
It's very hard.
So in needs versus wants or in Peter takes a train, that's the second one. Very hard concepts here. How do kids react to those when you do your readings?
I think they're excited that they're probably getting a blue and a red piggy bank.
Yes.
And I think they're happy to just bring it home. And
you actually give them the piggy bank?
I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
Really?
With the book.
Oh, wow.
So it kind of brings like this excitement and an exercise.
Definitely.
That they get to do. I'm not sure how long they're doing it.
Of course.
I hope they're doing it forever.
Of course.
But, you know, I guess once they're given their allowance, they could separate it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And then have a conversation with their parent along with reading the book.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So yeah, so they're so you're actually, the piggy bank is something physical. that they could take their dollar, separate it into the four quarters and maybe split it up accordingly.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And what age is Peter takes the train from what, second grade all the way
I would say second grade.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, with the third book, there's a bit of a jump.
Okay. So tell us about the third book.
So the third book goes into cash flow again, mm-hmm. but even more detail about cash flow.
How do you explain cash flow to children?
Well, in the first book, I explain it as you're earning an income.
Yep.
Mommy and daddy are going to work. Mm-hmm. This is what goes to get saved. This is what goes towards a home expense, a car expense, and food. Mm-hmm. Then I increase, I guess I don't want to say it's the level of complexity, but I just bring it to a different level where you're going a bit deeper with, okay, now you have this income. How much of it do you want to spend on the need? Mm-hmm. How much of it do you want to spend on the want? Okay. So I get them to start thinking about, do I really need this? Or is this more of a want? Mm-hmm. And in the third book, I bring it a bit further by using percentages, right? So now we have the income, we have the expenses, and what portion of this expense is eating away at that income? And something like food is considered a need, but is DoorDash a need?
Yes, exactly.
Are restaurants a need?
Yes, candy.
Right. So the food category is so much larger than it ever was.
You're getting them to look deeper.
Right. And cell phone, you know.
And cell phone's a big one. And you're getting them to look back at their income, their cash flow, to see the dent that whatever their needs and or wants left.
I think when you're showing a teenager or even an adult their expenses up and down, it's a bit more overwhelming.
It is.
Because when people spend, and even children, it's side by side.
Yes.
They're maybe going to the ice cream truck.
Yes.
You know, or grabbing something on the way home from a grocery store.
Yes.
But once they see it up and down, and then they look at the percentage, a teenager will be able to relate, wow, that might be too large.
Yep.
Of a percentage for what I'm getting.
Yep. How old is Vito now?
He's 15.
Yeah. So he's in my daughter's 12. So, you know, quite a bit of difference, few years difference, but she's in a category. And I imagine Vito too. Like, she likes to spend.
Well, Vito's dad and I, we, you know, chuckle about this, but we always say Peter doesn't know how to save. Right. And he gets so upset at us. He's like, stop calling me that. And I always tell him, like, you really have to bring it to a different level, Vito, because mommy has entered into this journey. You have to really try to support.
You're a spokesperson, Vito.
Exactly. And Peter doesn't know how to save.
But do you notice a difference?
Absolutely.
In adolescent spending, you know, in tween spending?
Yeah.
You know, I have a daughter who is very much into skincare, and that market alone is just shocking to me.
Well, as Vito's gotten older, he gives himself a budget now.
Okay.
Which is shocking. Like, I could tell Vito, let's read the book. You know, let's, you know.
I would love to.
I think it's different. Yeah, I think it's different when it's your mom,
yes,
you know, reading
definitely.
The book. But now I notice he's giving himself a budget.
Oh, nice.
You Good know, on you, certain Vito. Things. Like, mm-hmm. you know, mommy, maybe it should only be $30 for the weekend.
Yep.
So I think that that's progress.
Okay.
And I'm
that
hoping that some of it comes, you know, from just his surroundings.
Sure.
You know, his dad's also a big saver. So, you know, we're just hoping that it'll all connect.
Sure. Sure. That, you know, the market of when children have cell phones is getting younger and younger, but so is when children have access to money, whether that be through like a Venmo account. I mean, some of my children's friends have a credit card in their own name that's obviously attached to their parents. So these children at a very young age do have access to money to spend.
Right. And it's easy. It's easy to spend. It's not just the physical object of the money, right? It's the ability to just tap your phone.
Yep.
I mean, Apple Pay is dangerous.
It's very dangerous.
It's so easy. And once something's so easy, you tend to do it
definitely more. Definitely.
But what I also like about the third children's book is that we also speak about what do you do with that savings component? Like the first book introduces, you know, you give it to a character called Miss Monroe and she saves it in the bank and keeps it safe for you. And then I bring it to a different level in the third book by where does that money really go?
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about, you know, life insurance, investments,
beautiful,
savings accounts, things of that nature.
Yeah.
And that's when it starts to get really exciting.
So exciting.
For the child, just yep. to, and the teenager, to encourage them more.
Yeah.
Like the more money you save, the more money you make.
Yep. The more you could do with it.
Yeah.
And it's fun to, for them to watch it grow, just like in a piggy bank. It's fun to see the coins accumulate, just like in a savings account.
And the whole reason as to why I started writing is, you know, the earlier they start to become educated on financial literacy, the more they will save.
Yeah.
And as they get older, it gives them the power to make different choices.
It 100% does.
In my third book, there's a picture of Peter where he grows up and he has like muscles just to explain, you know, the word power, like what that really means. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as they get older, they're going to be faced with certain decisions. Mm-hmm. And if you're saving for a rainy day, I'm not saying the decision is easy, but it makes it easier.
Definitely. And starting this education and just the money conversation. So many people just avoid money conversations.
It's like
period.
Icky to many people.
Yes. It's very icky to many people.
I mean, I know growing up, you know, in my household, there was four of us, mm-hmm. my mother and father. And it took my dad a little bit of time, right, to figure out what he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then they blossomed with this landscaping business in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but they were still very private. When it came to money, I would have to really just start asking
definitely.
Questions.
Yep.
And now they laugh about it a bit because they really did drag the kids into the business as well. Like everybody's got to help. And, you know, I was the one that helped with the phone. I couldn't plant anything. I wasn't very good at that. So, you know, it is interesting. They were very secretive.
Yes. My parents as well. That's exactly how my household was as well, is you just never talked about it. Or if you did talk about it, it was a sore subject. It was definitely not a pleasant, like there was no pleasantries
right, exactly.
around money. It was typically a stressor.
Right.
So.
And it might've been a stressor. I know for me, because there was four of us.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it was just a challenge.
You didn't have a lot of it.
One
Absolutely.
Income at the time.
Yeah.
So. That might have been why they didn't want to speak about
Definitely.
It.
Definitely. Without a doubt. But it's always great and refreshing when books like this come out and you could have conversations about money. And even if there's not a lot of it, it doesn't mean it has to be a source of stress. How do we talk about it living within our means? And how do we properly define needs and wants with ourselves, of course, and then with our children?
Right.
How do we learn to live kind of an abundance mentality around money versus a scarcity mentality around money.
Exactly.
And to not compare yourself. I think that always has a lot to do with, as an adult, how people fear money. But of course, as children, it's very easy to compare yourself to what your friend has.
Of course.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's all about financial balance. And it's hard to just have that conversation with children mm-hmm. and especially teenagers, because they love that instant gratification.
They do.
You know, and everyone just wants to fit in.
Yeah.
It's not just children and teenagers. Yes, it's
of
everyone.
Course. You're right.
Right.
Yep. You're
so,
right.
But I figured, you know, how do we get all these ideas out to the masses where it doesn't matter what the conversation was like at home, right? Could have been a good one. It could have been a bad one. How do we make it exciting? Where they'll want to keep coming back for more about yeah. learning about finances. So, you know, writing this children's book series is something that I hope that does for them.
How do your clients react when you talk about this part of your life?
You know, my clients are actually like my children, mm-hmm. which is great in a very like meaningful way. But I think once I tell them that I'm writing children's books, they love it. They're so encouraging.
I'm sure.
And whether they want to give it to a niece or a nephew
yes.
or a friend that has a child or their own children, they're all about promoting it
yes.
in that way.
Yes.
I mean, they get exciting.
Yeah.
You know, writing a book is a scary thing, but it wasn't.
I can't even.
But it wasn't something I was like afraid of, because I think when you're afraid, then you might not do it. Mm-hmm. But I think once you have your words out there, you make yourself vulnerable.
Well, you believed.
It's a great experience.
You believed in the concept.
Exactly.
And
I think that's what helped.
Yeah. And you had Vito as inspiration, and you had a like a real life situation for why these concepts need to get out there.
Yeah.
Were there any, I'm sure there were a ton of barriers, but were there people or did you find in any school systems that they did not want you to talk about money or they didn't appreciate?
Oh, of course. I mean, still to this day, you know, I get comments like, you know, do you think that this is a concept that we should be introducing this early on? Do you think it's too much for the child?
Really?
And, you know, I just think about, you know, they could be learning chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, or physics, you know,
because,
you know, algebra. So that's not difficult for them. It could be.
That's what I'm curious about. Is it they don't think they can comprehend it?
Yeah.
Or is it because it could stir up feelings or issues or anything?
But I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think it's both. I've been told that quite a number of times. And I think, you know, the biggest heartbreak is like when you hear it for the first time, you know, and it was around 2016. I'm so excited. Yeah. Here I am. I wrote two books. I'm like, let me do two at the same time. And I'll remember I went out to lunch, you know, with someone and she says, I don't think the universe is ready for this. And it was heartbreaking for me at the time.
I can't even imagine.
You know, I still hear that a bit, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, just like any other barrier.
Yes, of course.
Right. If you really believe in it, you know, it's okay that the universe might not be ready for it. That still shouldn't prevent
parts
you from writing.
Parts
of the universe. Yes, exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So will there be a fourth Peter book?
I'd like to say probably, but I think, you know, this one just went to print.
Okay.
I'd love to just digest this one and, you know, and get the word out there, see a bit more movement.
Beautiful.
You know, with the children's book series, and then we'll see from there.
I love it. Rosanna, where can people find you and Peter Saves?
So they can go to the website, PeterSavesChildrensBooks.com.
Great.
And I'm also selling my books on Amazon.
Beautiful. So you can find them on Amazon and Peter Saves Children's Books. And then where can people find you if they want to keep in touch?
Sure. So they could go on the Barnum website.
Okay.
And they could also email me, right, at rguardabacaro@barnumfg.com.
Beautiful. And Instagram, right?
Yes. Instagram, Facebook.
Great.
That's right.
Okay.
Social media.
Beautiful. Well, Rosanna, it was so wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you for all the amazing work you do, not just with your clients and their financial futures, but truly for all the great work you do with our children and helping to teach them all these wonderful money concepts.
Thank you for having me, Elizabeth. And thank you for always supporting me.
Of course.
During this journey.
Of course. Thank you for listening to Master Your Money and Mindset. You can find these episodes on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you enjoyed what you heard. You can follow Barnum Financial Group on LinkedIn and Instagram. Thanks so much.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions their respective parent companies or affiliates or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated. Investments or strategies mentioned in this program may not be suitable for you, and you should make your own independent decision regarding them. This material does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. You should strongly consider seeking advice from your own investment advisor. Securities and investment advisory services offered through qualified registered representatives of MML Investor Services, LLC. Member SIPC, 6 Corporate Drive, Shelton, Connecticut, 06484, telephone number 203-513-6000.